Welcome back to episode 2 of the Christian Life Podcast, where today we will be discussing the topic of faith. What is it? How do you act on it? And what does the Bible say about it? I am your co-host, Michael Brazier, and sitting across from me is your host, Art Nurnberg. So last week we teased the idea of faith, kind of, and you gave us a definition of it. So I want to go back to that definition of faith. And you said it's personal trust in a person. So that was kind of like the gist of it, but you gave a longer definition. When people think of faith, I think that a lot of times they go to Hebrews 11:1.
Okay.
And they use that as a definition of faith, but you have a slightly different view on that. So let's talk about that. Do you think Hebrews 11:1 is a definition of faith?
Okay. It depends. I guess one of those places where problem of what's your definition of a definition, right? It does say something about faith. There's no question about it. And it's a very important statement it makes about faith. But when I said last week that it's not really a definition, I'm thinking about a definition where I can take this definition and I can apply it. I can live it out in circumstances. That definition tells us something very important about faith. But it doesn't exclusively describe faith in a sense. It is actually the conclusion. He starts off his chapter on the men of faith of the Old Testament by coming to a conclusion. This is what faith is. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the title deed to things that aren't seen, which is what's out ahead for them. Then he will give illustrations of how the men actually worked that out in life that brings him to that conclusion. But without those stories, you couldn't really say, take that definition and go off and live by it. I want something that, again, it's very true and it's very important, and it is a great conclusion. It tells you the benefits and the what a life of faith kind of looks like, but how do I come there? And so we go back to that personal trust.
So it talks about hope, and I think that I hear a lot of people and they kind of like use faith and hope as synonymous, like kind of the same thing. Okay. Like you hope for something, you have faith for that this will happen. What's the difference between the hope and faith?
They're not easy to sort out.
Yeah.
They aren't. So that when people have trouble, even the commentators have trouble. There are a number of commentators that will tell you that in the book of Hebrews, faith and hope are almost interchangeable. But there is a difference. There's a difference between the two. And that difference is that hope is generally associated with the future things and the unseen things. It has to do with things you're counting on that will take place in the future, or the presence of God, which is unseen. Both of them are associated with hope, but most of the time it has to do with the hope of the coming of the Lord, the hope of eternity with the Lord, the inheritance we have in Christ. So that hope is out there. Faith, generally speaking, here is separated by the fact that faith has to do with trusting God in a particular circumstance with the anticipation of an outcome because of your faith. So that when I hope in the coming of the Lord, that doesn't change anything. He'll come when he comes, but it does give me a confidence within that enables me to live. So that's there. When we're exercising faith, I'm trusting him for what I need right now as I'm speaking to you.
Yeah.
For what I need when I'm in a situation and I need his help to be what I need to be. So that faith is taking hold on with an intent to change a circumstance.
Okay.
Hope generally speaks about a confidence in God with regards to things that will take place, and they just assure my heart.
So hope is like an assurance to your heart, but faith is more of a, you're trusting him for this outcome here.
Yeah.
And that's where like your definition, like personal trust in a person. So what does, what does trust look like in a really practical sense for faith?
Okay. And that gets down to a, an interesting concept of how the word is used in the New Testament. And when we're talking about faith, Faith is the noun form of a Greek word, and that Greek word has also a verb form.
Okay.
We don't have, in the English language, we really don't have a verb-noun correspondence like this. But in the Greek language, the word faith has a corresponding verb, and that verb is to believe. Right? That's the action of faith, if you would. You believe in the Lord. Hmm. Now, what does that mean? It's interesting to note that Paul prefers to talk about faith, the inward attitude. It's, mm-hmm. it's an attitude I have. John prefers to talk about believing. His book, go through the Gospel of John. It's all about believing. This one believed. So, but he always puts it believe in or believe on or believe into. It's a preposition. They're hard to define. But it's personal. And that's the point we want to note. It's something I do. I don't just believe about him. I believe in him. And, two passages in the book of John that kind of help us with that. Number one is the story of Jesus making this promise that if anyone thirsts, he says, let him come to me. So he's saying that if you've got this thirsty attitude, then come to me. Okay, come to me personally. And then it says after that that he who comes to me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Okay. After he's finished, John makes this comment. He says he was speaking about, this is a paraphrase, but he was speaking about the Spirit of God, whom those who believed would receive, all right? He says that the ones who received what it meant to come were those that believed. So believing is coming to that person, which is important, of course, in the entire book of John, because just take the seven I am statements. I am this. Not just I will give it, but I am this. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Hmm. So there's a personal relationship. Now, the other place in John, which is really, I think, maybe the fundamental one that we have to get hold of, is is in the first chapter, where it says that Jesus, when he comes to this earth, he came unto his own. But those who were his own didn't receive him. Hmm. But then he goes on to say, that's not the condition for everybody. It was the general condition of the nation. But it wasn't everybody's condition. So he said, but as many as did receive him, he gave, and again, this is paraphrased, he gave authority to become the sons of God, even to those who believed in his name. So he equates this idea of believing mm-hmm. with receiving. Mm. Which gives you, so you can come to a person, they can tell you something, you say, well, nah, I don't know, right? The idea of receiving is a person presents themselves to you, says something about who they are, and I either trust them that that's true, mm-hmm. or I reject that. Mm. But it's the rejection of a person. And so he says that faith, this believing, is the same as receiving. You take the action of bringing him in. So this personal element becomes just extremely important. Mm.
So when you reject Jesus, you're rejecting like faith in him, essentially, because you're not receiving him.
Right.
So it's a interesting. Okay. So what do you think is like someone is asking you just basically like, how do they know they have faith in Jesus? What would you communicate to them?
Okay. Well, that's where the important part. For the men of that day, you know, when the Gospels are preached, a person came to them, mm-hmm. and they saw him. There he was. Jesus himself is standing right in front of them.
Yeah.
And Jesus speaks to them and gives them he tells them who he is. They had to respond to that. They either rejected it or they accepted it.
And they did it physically because Jesus is standing right in front of them.
That, what they were responding to was what he was saying about himself.
Because Jesus is always looking for faith.
Right. He's always looking for faith. This was important to him. He separates people in terms of what are they doing with respect to what he says. They're either responding in faith or they're rejecting it. So he's asking them to take that step. So they had him physically in front of him. He gives a message. In essence, he says, I'm the Messiah. That's basically what he's presenting if you take the entire message. He's presenting, I am the Messiah. Some accepted that, and some rejected, but it's I am the Messiah. Not just there is a Messiah, this is what God, here, it's what I am. But in order to accept that, they had to accept what he said. Mm. All right. Now, Jesus isn't physically on the earth. When I came to the Lord, I didn't come to him in a physical sense. What I did was I heard what he had said when he was here. And I was assessing that message. Was he speaking the truth when he said that? If I accept the fact that what he said was true, which is what's recorded in the Word of God, and I respond to that, I'm exercising faith. That's coming to him.
Yeah.
Because everything it says about him here, it's about him personally. Mm-hmm. As we just said, I am the way, the truth, and life. That's one of those statements. I can't come to the Lord. I can't come to God without coming to the Lord, without entrusting myself into his care. So I do it just as truly as they did it, except I don't have the physical person in front of me by the Spirit of God, but I'm still coming to him. Mm-hmm. It's still personal. To fail to listen to what the Word of God says is a personal rejection.
Yeah.
And so I get the...
So this is maybe a pivot, but a lot of people have this question. And like I had it as when I was like little.
Okay.
When Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, like you can move mountains.
Okay.
What is he talking about there?
Okay. Okay.
Because I don't think it's that you can literally...
Like, no,
if I pray that Paris Mountain would move into, you know, the Atlantic Ocean, it probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
So what is he communicating?
Okay. That's an important feature of faith. We trust God, right? Because that's where he started that thing. Have faith in God. Mm-hmm. Count on the fact that God is capable, right? And we won't go into the whole story of what he... A bush had been killed, I mean, been withered up because of his word. And he was doing that in the process of ministering for God. Right? So he says this. Now, what he is saying there is when you are ministering, count on the presence of God with you. Have faith in him. Have faith that you're not on your own here. Trust him with respect to it. I think the mountain he's talking about there is... completely metaphorical. It has to do with the question of big things that have to take place when people are ministering. I'm ministering. We're talking about life and death. I can't bring life to you.
Yeah.
But I have to trust God for that. I can't go in and physically deliver a person from their bondages to different kinds of problems. I can't do that. But God can.
Yeah.
And when I'm interacting with a person... I have to count on God's presence and his power being made known in that particular place. So it's not me moving mountains. That's relatively unimportant.
The moving mountain part is not the important part.
The important part is that lives can be changed.
Yeah. And, by trusting in God. And by that act of trusting in God is having faith in him.
Yeah. And he's particularly associated at that point with prayer.
Prayer. Okay.
When you come to pray. Count on God being present. Because so often in prayer, we have this view that God is up there and we have to move him somehow. That we have to change his outlook towards us. That we have to get him on our side. If we belong to him, if we've come to the Lord, and you know him, because he's talking to his disciples here. It's late in the season. We're in the last week of his ministry. Those men are committed to him. If you've come to that place where you're committed, then you can count on God's presence. You don't have to overcome his reluctance to move for blessing for people. You got to count on it.
So, I like that. I feel like that's really encouraging to people that you don't have to, because sometimes people have like a really negative view of God, like, oh, they sinned or they messed up or they have a lot of guilt or shame, and then they're praying about something that's important. And they feel like they have to move God's reluctance in their life or something like that in order for him to then act on their behalf. But the Lord is always like, he's our father. So he always wants us to come to him.
Right.
And there's never a point. And he's always wanting us to have faith in him because, and it, when it says a mustard seed, do you think it's talking about like a really tiny bit of faith, or what is the point of that? Because you hear people say that, like, you just need a tiny bit of faith.
Yeah. And it's said many, many times, but the point is that, the faith that you have isn't an issue. We get this idea, and it's particularly prevalent in our culture, that we can change things by an inward attitude, right? That I can have enough faith if I have just really great faith, and I can make things happen. I can't make anything happen. God can make things happen. And so the issue there is, don't concentrate on the faith that you have. Concentrate on the person you're trusting. You don't need a lot of faith. You just have to use that, direct it towards the person who's capable. Right? And that's very important. Back to your thought before, and I think this one is one that we have to really kind of hammer. Why do people have that reluctance in prayer? Why do they feel that way? The fundamental, this one, I love the discussion on faith, because the fundamental point of the Christian life is justification. Before, when we were born into this world, we were at odds with God. His heart was, in a sense, in one very real sense, against us. We were under the wrath of God. When you come and exercise faith in Jesus Christ to cleanse you from the guilt of sin, you put yourself in his hands as Savior, that guilt is completely removed. That from that day on, the only way I can ever come to God, the only relationship I ever have with him, is based on a sacrifice that he made on my behalf. Mm-hmm. With that so, there's nothing left for me to do to earn my way in or work my way in. So that no matter what I'm coming to him with, I can come. That's why the invitation to come is so wide open. Mm. Not just because God wants people to be close, but because a sacrifice was going to be made in Jesus Christ, which would be so complete that God could then say, yeah, okay, come to me, come to me. If that sacrifice hadn't been there, there wouldn't be any come to me. We would always have to stay loose. So before we had no right to come. Now in Christ, we can come.
Yeah.
We can come freely. And so we don't have to earn anything. We don't have to build up in for prayer. Yeah.
So kind of concluding our conversation, but how have you grown in your life of faith following the Lord for 50 some years?
Okay. Because it's personal trust in a person. Mm-hmm. The issue is, how well do I know the person? At the beginning, I have to know him well enough to say, okay, I believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is enough evidence for me that I can trust this person, the person that those men saw and heard, and I can trust his message, and I will entrust myself to him for deliverance. Mm-hmm. But when I first came to the Lord, I didn't know him. I don't know him. I haven't proved that. Confidence in a person is something that develops as you learn who that person is. And I believe that's what God wants to do as he sanctifies us the rest of our lives. We are going to ever, in an ever-increasing manner, learn who he is. That's why some of the circumstances that we don't want in our lives are perfectly necessary. Why? Because a human being will ultimately trust himself above everything else. Unless he's pressed out of that place.
Yeah.
That's who we trust. That's who we've learned we have to trust, because nobody else is reliable. God puts us in circumstances in which he gives us a chance to prove that he will meet us. As he meets us in those, I begin to learn, oh yeah, he can be faithful to me there. Right? So that you grow in a process of being put in places where you need help. and you can't find it in yourself. And so you see God. And so that's been the great blessing of the 50 years since I came to the Lord. It's one circumstance after another in opportunity with other individuals, in teaching, in relationships, an opportunity to find out who he is. Because it's when we behold him with unveiled face, we changed into his likeness. We come to that confidence. We come to confidence because see, that's what we talked about it in Old Testament survey and things. That's what Israel should have had happen to them in the wilderness. God was doing all these things. Why did he put them in a place where there wasn't water after he brought them out? Because they needed to know more about who he was. They had to come to the place where their confidence in life was in who he was and not in natural circumstances. Because they complained about it instead of trusting him in it. They never grew in that. It's one of the saddest stories of the Old Testament is a group of people who went through the Red Sea and never grew to know the God who brought them out. But we have that opportunity. And so he's creating circumstances. And that's how he does it. He creates circumstances, tells us what's true in his word. We trust him. And he proves himself to us.
So you grow in faith by being put in places that you need God, essentially.
Yeah.
And trusting him in those circumstances.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so we're already out of time, which is kind of crazy. So thank you so much for answering these questions on faith. I know it encouraged my heart and it definitely encouraged our listeners' hearts as well. So next week we are going to be discussing God's faithfulness. And I know that you guys are not going to want to miss that. And we're just going to continue like the idea of faith, but from God's vantage point on faithfulness and what that looks like to us as people and to his creation. So as always, you can listen to all of our previous episodes as well as so much more on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, X for daily encouragement. And until then, may God bless you, and we will see you again next Tuesday.